You have a test earlier or what?
Oh, no, we're just dealing with all sorts of allegations.
Oh, yeah. God bless you. What's your favorite Hebrew, Earl?
Maybe not.
We'll sing a Hebrew song on all day. Hi. You're not going to sing for Hebrew either?
No. Oh. Maybe
Well, just a reminder, we have a quiz coming up Thursday, right? Thursday vocab, chapters 49 to 52. And then next Wednesday on the grammar and translation, the same sections. Okay, today we want to finish lesson 53. What's that question?
You know, going to say, it may not be of interest to anybody else, but we have in the grad library, there's that one Bible put out by the British Foreign Bible Society that got...
The other one, same one, Snape's, and it's got, I think it's essentially the same Snape's in it, but on the margins it's got the King James. In the margins it's got King James on that one? Okay, I've got one that's got it all on, that's Hebrew Publishing House, so mixed that one, I think.
Anyway, I ordered it, including tax and everything.
That's not too bad.
Oh, I had to get that because the people have been carrying around a King James and have to put it there.
That'd be handy.
Whatever, for services.
Right. For something like that where you've got a handy reference to check with. Yeah, that'd be good. Is the print quality good in it?
It's the same as Snape's.
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty clear.
Sure. What's Snape's cost now? Do you know print price?
$8.70.
Okay.
$8.70.
That's not too much more than that for what you get.
This one's $10.70, but you charge all that shipping.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's good information. Appreciate that. I may want to grab a copy of that myself. It's all in one volume and everything, nice,
one
compact.
Volume, yeah. And it's pretty clear print. It's not as large as Biblia and Hebraica, but it does have the King James, so that you can make reference.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, it does help sometimes to catch it, you know, because it... once you find out where you are, you can pretty well flow with it, but it's sometimes, especially when the verse numbers are different. You know, in a lot of passages in Hebrew in the Old Testament, the verse numbers are one off or something in the Psalms, because they all number the introductory portion. And so that'll shove it off by one number, and you can really get confused sometimes. Okay. Object suffixes on the remaining forms of the perfect. I'm on top of page 267 in lesson 53. We looked at the object suffix on the perfect, the third person feminine singular before. Now, the point there is you have a tau, the hey is replaced by tau, basically, either a comma or a pophoc tau, and then you put the ending on. Now, with the rest of them, you're dealing with vowel endings, primarily, or if they're not vowel endings to start with, they'll get changed to it. And so, these offer no new problems other than the alterations in the form of the subject suffix. The subject suffix is the one that's part of the verb ending now, normally. And the object suffix is what we're going to stick on. So the subject suffix is going to be changed. In the second person feminine singular ending, the normal ending was a tau. Remember, you got those two schwas and a tau at the end. Instead of that, they're going to get tau with a hirik yod. You stick a hirik yod on the end of it. And that's going to be able to open that syllable and make it vocalic ending now. And what it also does is confuse you, because there's something else that ends with tau hirik yod. That's your first person singular form, and which means that your first person singular and your second person feminine singular forms are going to be the same when you put the object suffixes on them. And that means context has to help decide. You'll note that further down. Okay, then the second change is the second person masculine and feminine, plural ending Tim, goes to two. It puts in feminine in question marks because there may be some questionable instances here. If you're changing to two there, you're going to lose the M and the, or the N, which is the thing that, the name or the nun, which is the thing that told you whether it was feminine or masculine. So there's some question whether there might have been some feminine forms in there, but they get obscured by the fact of this transformation. So that's why he puts a question mark on the feminine. In other words, all we've got is forms that could be masculine or feminine, perhaps. Don't even know whether the feminines do this or not, or whether either the feminines just are never used and they never do this, or there's feminines in there and they do the same things the masculines do, so you can't tell them apart. So we'll leave that for contextual considerations later on. The point is, though, that long ending, that heavy ending, tem, becomes two with a shurik. And then you add the suffixes on. So now the problem of having consonants on the end of those is alleviated, and now we have a vowel, and that's pretty easy to stick an ending on. So the endings in column B back in that previous chapter are the ones that are stuck on here. And in many cases, it's just a consonant that's stuck on. So all the remaining stems then end in a vowel, to which are added the suffixes of column B, section 184. Here's a representative sampling. So we've got you observed me, you feminine singular. That would be shamart normally in the perfect. But then remember that we get the hirik yod added onto that. So it becomes shamartini. If you observe me, and then you put the object suffix ni on the end of that, and your object suffixes, well, I don't know if you just take a look at them, but they're fairly short because all you really have is one syllable being added or one letter being added. On the post-vocalic unstressed column B, page 260 is what we're adding on. So in this case, ni is the only thing we're adding. It's not ani, but it's just ni. So shimartini and shimartim, just adding a mame for the plural ending there. And then I observed you, shimartika. Here we get the tau hirik yod also, but that's because it's the normal ending of the verb. And so this means I observed you. Although, of course, it also could mean you observed you, but that wouldn't be very, it wouldn't be customary to talk that way. So in this one, the context usually helps you. You usually don't observe you, unless it's yourself, and then you probably use a hip pile form or something. So I observed you, shimartik. Feminine singular and object suffix. And I observed them, shimartim. Now that's one that could generate some ambiguity. If you look at that shimartim, the form words, I observed them, and you look up at the second form in the column there, shimartim, you observed them, it's the exact same form.
That one, that shimartika,
mm-hmm.
it really can't be the other one, even though form-wise it might be.
Yeah.
Otherwise you have you, feminine singular,
observe you. Yeah, I know it. Yeah, in other words, the impossibility of even saying that precludes getting confused on that form. Yeah, that's a good point. And the same with the next one, you observed you. I mean, that one would fit feminine singular both sides, but there's another way to say that. In other words, you're saying you observed yourself, and you'd use a hithpile form to get a reflexive idea there. You wouldn't use this. Okay. They did put a stress mark on one of them. They didn't on the other as far as the difference in the form, but it's stress on the last syllable anyway, so it's not going to make any difference. Okay, they observed me. Now, shimaru would be your form for the third person plural, and that's already got the vowel on it, so you just add those suffixes and you have no trouble. Shimaruni, they observed me. One thing, though, that you do need to note about this form is that you have a comment instead of pasak there. And pretonic reduction again. And there's a note down here about that, so I think maybe I'll wait and consider the note there. When it's in a pretonic position, you get a restoration of the full vowel, or at least a lengthening of the vowel to commas. That same thing happened in that third person feminine singular situation on just the previous page. But again, this would be pretty easy to recognize. Okay, they observed him, shimaruhu. They observed you. I skipped one. They observed you, shimaruhu, shimaruhu, shimarum. before they observed them. You, plural, observed me. This is one that he mentioned up there with this, where you're adding the shurek onto the end and actually changing the tem to two. So it would have been shemar tem for you, plural, observed. But if you want to say you observed me, it's going to be shemar tuni, shemar tuni. And you get tau shurek instead of the tem. And then you add the vocalic suffix. So the suffix goes on vowel endings. Shemar tuhu, shemar tuka. Shemar tuhu is the form. Then we get the first person plural form, and that would be shemar nuka. We observed you, masculine singular. So we shemarnu would be your normal form, and then you're adding the suffix that goes on vowels because it's already that way. And shemar nuhu, same situation there. Those are not too bad to identify, I don't think. The only thing to watch for is the fact of that change in the second person masculine plural endings and second person feminine singular. Three notes at the bottom of this. Note again, number one, the shift of stress and the resultant propionic reduction. So we've got that shawa in the first syllable. I guess I've just been taking it for granted that you realize the reason for that. Adding another syllable onto the end, and so you have to shorten something up in the front. The restoration of the full vowel in Shemar Ruhu, for example. The full vowel he's talking about is that comet's there in the second position. The normal perfect form has a pathak in that second position. And they're getting a longer form before the stressed syllable. So in the restoration of full vowel in this form, and this is mentioned in pre-tonic position. If you look at page 266, the first note there, the restoration of the full vowel pathak in pretonic position. That's the same kind of situation here. It's pretonic. Then, third point, the possibility of confusion between the second person feminine singular and the first person common singular with the T. So, we've already observed that. Okay, then some more paradigms on this to give you a four range. Some other verbs and some PL and HIP fields, the same situation. Not too much to say. It's pretty much straightforward, this change and substitution that takes place and so forth. I don't think there's much to be, reason to belabor this. Shemarti would be the first person form. Shemartihu, Shamaru, and then you get Shemaruhu. So it's just giving you the singular, first person singular and the third person plurals and giving examples of what happens with all of those verbs. Don't think there's really too much to say here that hasn't been said already. This doesn't present any real complications. Okay. Then section 190, a group of irregular call verbs. That's all we need now, some more irregularities. And these are irregularities with regard to putting the object suffixes on. There are several call verbs which have seri or hiric in the second stem syllable before the pronominal suffixes. So if you put these pronominal suffixes on, some verbs act a little funny there, and they get a seri or a hiric in the second position instead of the pathak you're used to. Two of these, yarash and sha'al, have unusual forms even in the second person plural of the non-suffix element. The second person plural is the one that gets that tem, that heavy suffix, remember? And so these verbs are unusual even there, and he's mentioning this because this is kind of what the others do when you get these pronominal suffixes on. Well, let's look at these examples. You've got she'el tem. Instead of she'al tem with the pathak, it's she'el tem with the segol for the verb she'al. That's unusual, of course. There's no way to predict that. And then with yarash, the same thing, only it's with a hirik, yarish tem. So you're used to seeing pathaks there. These verbs are unusual before that heavy suffix. Now, in a like fashion, when you put the pronominal suffixes on, the additional heavy suffixes, he lists below for reference are the anomalous forms of the four important verbs in this, of this type. So at least there's only four important ones. Regular forms also occur in some instances. So in some cases, you'll see both ways. The verb ahav, we've already seen, is quite irregular and in its other forms. So ahav or ahave is so irregular that they debate even what the root form should be. But you'll see here when you have the pronominal suffixes on them, Three MS here, for example, you get Ahavka. Ahavka. And there you've got a Sari in the second position. Third person feminine singular, Ahavathek. And again, the Sari there. Third person masculine plural, Ahavuka. Same thing. So, Sari's in those positions. And the rest of the paradigm we'll go through, but same situation there. You've got just putting some different pronominal suffixes on the same basic form. Then yalav, to bear, that's one that gets heric. And so if you've got second person feminine singular form and then it turns out to be first person singular suffix, pronominal suffix, you've got yalivtini. And I suppose the main thing to note there is the heric in the second syllable, and the rest of the paradigm has the same situation. And Yarash, same thing. Heric, well, this one's got both Heric and Sari. The 2MS form has got the Heric. The 3MP, third person masculine plural, has got the Sari. And then the 2MP has got the Heric again. So that one goes back and forth between Heric and Sari. Same with Sha'al. You've got the 3MS form has got the Sari. The first person common singular, though, goes back to Heric. And then they go Sari with the other one, then Sagol with the last one. So that one you can have all kinds of fun with. So I think the bottom line is you will probably recognize these forms, especially if you're familiar with the verb sha'al, for example. Your eye will pick up that it's sha'al. And once you see the basic pattern, and then that vowel point in there is not going to cause you too much problem. And don't ask me why they vary on this vowel point. It must be the way it sounds or something to them. I have no idea, but that's what happens. So these four verbs are ones to watch out for: the verb to love, to bear, to inherit, or to ask. Okay, any questions on this chapter as far as the formation of things is concerned? Vocabulary, let's take a quick look at before we get into the exercises. And we'll go as far as we can with those today. Verbs, chamal, to spare, and it can be used with an infinitive to spare oneself the trouble or expense of doing something. So the literal would be something like to spare to do something. And if you use the preposition all after it, it means to pity. So to spare upon someone is kind of the idea. Shalem, to restore, to make good, to recompense. Interesting to see if there's any parallel between that and shalom and, you know, the idea of peace. It would seem to be a PL type of to make peace, you know. Make good. Mashach, that's the word to anoint. This is the word from which the word Messiah comes, anointed one, Mashiach. So Mashach is to anoint. Baza, to despise. Baka, to split. Azar, to help. Get azer from that as a noun. And we had Azer before, didn't we? Is it now? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Was this? Yeah. Esser. Okay. Is it? And there's Eliezer. There's names Eliezer and so forth. Eliezer. Rafa, to cure, to heal. And same meaning for the PL form, apparently. Yeah. Rafa. And then the nouns, kevish, lamb of male, in the female form, kivsha, female lamb. Chek means bosom. Cherev, I thought we had that already, but it's sword. And then some miscellaneous things. We've got achdal, meaning an adverb together or all together, or yachad, which is the same, has the same meaning. Yaki, there it is. An absolute one, meaning all together. Okay? And my point is that, well, if you know that argument, you probably can catch on to this, but this is from the verb yakad, meaning to unite. And it's been claimed that yakid means absolute one, and that ekad means the united one. If anything, it's the reverse. Because this yakad means to unite, and this yakad, the stress in the first syllable, means all together. Speaking of the united one, if you want to call it that. So I find that very curious. But there is a verb, yakad, same spelling except the stress, you know, except a comma's in the first syllable, and the normal stress pattern, which means to unite. Okay. Then a few other conjunction. Ekev, asher, with ki, can be used to mean because. Negev, before, in front of, and as a preposition. And we got negdi and lenegev as a using with the preposition lamed as another option. And negdi is the with the suffixes before me, for example, in front of me. We've seen lifnei also, and it'd be interesting to do a synonym study on those two to see if there's any nuance, the difference between them. The negative seems to have more the idea of down in front of. Yes, impression.
Yeah, I have come across this in a big name study, and it's what was the root now? Something idea of hey,
mm-hmm.
Stating, or that's also translated, even opposite or over again.
Negative does?
Yeah.
Okay. That would make it somewhat similar. Of course, lifnei is from, you know, to the face, panim. And so there may be some cognate, or some synonyms as far as the idea of face, and that may carry into the preposition. That's interesting. All right. SF is a rare synonym of ain, non-existence. So SF key, accept that, or save that as a conjunction. Can be used as well. And proper names, Nathan, Nathan the prophet, Uriah, and Hitti for Hittite. It's an adjective. Okay, questions, anybody there? Now this won't be on your next test. It'll be in the last one, vocab, so this one only goes up through 52. Okay, section A, number one. Transform the following according to the example and translate. So they're giving you a form that's got the suffix on it, and then you're to separate it out, give verb form with a form of F with the suffix on it, and then give a translation. So this is similar to what we did in the last chapter. So number one, John, want to take a crack at that? Just read the Hebrew as it is, and then read it with how it'd be split up, and then translate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a PL form. Yeah, Gershu Otham, right. Gershu Otham. Yeah. It's a PL form to drive away.
So they drove away them.
Yes, they drove away them, or drove them away. They drove them away. Okay, good. Number eight, Eric. Okay, the form should be Gershu. Just drop the mame off what you see there. That's all you need to do. If you get Gershu, or you mean the dictionary form?
No,
oh, okay. Okay. All right. Number eight, then. Gets you, yeah, Eric. Okay. Okay. Yeah, you got two possibilities on this one, I guess. Yeah, I guess I took the other. I took lakavti otham, or you could take lakavt otham. So it's either you, feminine singular, captured them, or I captured them. Either one's perfectly fine. So either you, feminine singular, captured them, or I captured them. And of course, whichever way you go is going to affect the way your Hebrew is going to come out. I mean, it'll be either lakavt otham or lakavti otham. Good. Okay. And lakavt otham would be... Does anybody need the spelling of those? Or you probably remember that. But it's Comets Pothawk in the first two syllables either way. Okay, number 15, Price.
Got all of Duke.
Mm-hmm.
We redeemed you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'd be got all of Duke.
Right. Okay, Othaka, or Othak, probably. Othak is a feminine form here, feminine singular. But it's just Ga'alnu, Ga'alnu. Ga'alnu Othak. Ga'alnu Othak. So Gimel with Comets, Aleph with Pathak, Lamath with Shua, and then your Nu in the end. And Othak. We redeemed you, feminine singular. Okay, number one under part B is the reverse direction. You have to take these forms and put them back to put them together. And Doug, why don't you take first number one?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Tefashtin. Tefashtin. Just reduce the first syllable to Shawa. And add a nun to the end. That's all you need to do. Tevashtin. Of course, your stress is going to shift too. And what would it mean?
I seize
them. Yes, I seize them. Feminine plural. Yeah. I seize them. Feminine plural. Okay. Any questions there? Any problems with that? Number eight, John? There's only four of you today. You'll be busier.
Here uni.
Okay, yeah, here uni. Here uni. Mm-hmm. So really all you're adding is an e to the end of it. And the stress shifts. And you can't change the first syllable because it's already closed. So here uni. Okay, and what would it mean? This is actually, I'll give you a hint, it's a hip feel from,
yeah,
from Ra'a to C.
Okay, so
here since it's Hifil and this is an active, I mean the Hifil is the active form, the Hofal would be they were, but
okay.
They caused me to see. They caused me to see, or they showed me.
They
caused me to see. That's a little tricky because sometimes you're wondering, you know, when you get causation, then part of the verbal idea, itself is having a passive effect on the person who's receiving it, but the other person's causing it, so that's where the active part comes. So they caused me to see, or they showed me. Okay, 15, Eric. Right, Bazafni. Good, Bazafni. It's Beth with Comets, Zion with Pathak, Tau with Shua, Nun, Yerikyo, Bazafni. Okay, real good. So part C, translate the following, replace the object with the appropriate pronoun suffix to the verb. So now we have an actual sentence structure with an object. You are supposed to remove that object, as it were, pronominalize it, and put it on the verb. So, part C, Bryce. We'll have you translate, too. Yeah, that's the first thing you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Which is, they abandoned their God.
Yes.
And it would be Azabuhu.
Yes, Azabuhu. They abandoned him. Right. Azabuhu. Okay. Questions, anybody? Anybody need the spelling of that? Azabuhu? Okay. Number eight. Doug. Okay. Yeah, they took our harvest. Okay. Probably want a uhu suffix there. The lakakuhu. Lakakuhu. Lakaku plus the who. Lakakuhu. So they took it. Referring, using the masculine form referring to the harvest. Masculine noun. If the noun were feminine, then you'd use the feminine suffix. So let's see, on this one, you could just have, if you wanted to just put the, well, let's see, in this one, with after a shurik, you could say uv, lukakuv, and you almost have to pronounce that wow as a V when you do that. Lukaku, I guess, do a W sound. But I don't think you're going to see that very often. Usually with a shurik, you almost always see that shurik, that hey first. I don't think you made any note about that, though. Okay, but that's going to be your most common form. Usually the wow is used after a hirik yol. The one that ends in hirik yol, you'll get the wow there, you. But I don't want to make it a hard, fast rule. I just don't recall seeing it with a shurik and then the wow after it. If you did, you'd probably, you know, I can remember pronouncing it when I took Hebrew, we pronounced it with a V when it was final like that. But I still don't recall any specific examples of that. So I think it's safer to go this way. Okay, 15. And who's next? John?
Shalem and Hafesa.
Okay.
He restored the silver.
Yes, he restored the silver. Yes, Shilamahu, Shilamahu.
That would be a shiwa, but it's vocal.
It's vocal because of the doubling of the lamas there. Yeah, that's what makes it vocal. So Shilamahu or Shilamo, if you wanted to, that one can use either one of those suffixes. Shilamo or Shilamahu. Okay, very good. Any questions? Doug? 15 in section B, okay. Okay, the problem. The three hay is a big problem. Yeah. What we want is the three hay and third person feminine singular verb with the first person common singular suffix. And so if you go over to page 266, it's going to be analogous to what you see, say, with Azav there, the second one down in the call. That's a three. Well, no. Fourth one down. Yeah, right. That's the one you want. Yeah, the fourth one down. That was a three hay. So it'll be analogous to that pattern. So the hay is dropping off, basically, and changing to a tau. And so, yeah, I think you'd best just think of it as changing to a tau. Does that explain it for you then?
Yeah, we got in trouble.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. One thing is you do have to do this in the right order, too. Yeah. You might have been confused a little bit by the normal pattern for those that where you do get the towel. Let me see. Let me explain that. Well, I guess it's just a matter of going back to the original form of what it does. And then, yeah, that's what it is. And then putting the suffix on and making any changes that are appropriate as a result of that. Yeah. Which isn't too much here.
Yeah, I think I'm back with the three very end.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see this when I
did. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
What I did
yeah. Okay. Let's continue then with the reading on 2 Samuel 12, 1 to 15a, and start with verse 1. And, yeah, go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
My son, Yahweh, is Nathan, and David. My Yahoo, and Lao, my Yonu, Lo, Shnei, Anashim, Huyu, Hayu, Ba'ir, Echad. Echad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. Well, it'd be just either Rosh or Osh.
Oh, it's another form.
Yeah, from Rosh. Okay, it's just got a quiescent aleph in there where normally you don't see the aleph, so it'd be Rosh then. It's a little tricky on those because that holem could be, you know, it could be there or not there because of the sheen following it. So it could, you know, that when they double them up like that, it's possible to have Ra'osh or Rosh. So,
it's kind of interesting.
Apparently, it's just Rosh. Mm-hmm. Just Rosh. Because it came from, yeah, and there's a metheg on there. So, yeah, it's Rosh. And probably the metheg's, well, maybe they put it there just to let you know that the thing is a, even though it looks like a closed syllable, with the quest and all of you can almost think of it as a closed syllable anyway. Just to let you know that you do get the pronunciation comments out of it. Okay, so Rosh. All right, translation.
God sent Nathan for David, and he came for him and said to him, two men shall there was, and David, in one city. One rich.
Right, good. And Yahweh sent Nathan to David, and he came to him or toward him and said to him, two men were in one city, one rich and one poor. Okay, so that two men, Shnei Anashim, Hayu, Be'ir, Echat, and that Echat is one for modifying city. The city, remember, is feminine noun. And then we have a pause in effect there, Echat, Asir, Le'echad. Echad Asir with Echad Rash, one rich and one poor. Okay. Verse 2, Price. How do you get that short?
Well, Asir, Hayah, Son, Ubakar, Awabe, Abu.
Okay.
I, good way to take it. You can say, to the rich was flock.
Mm hmm.
Much cattle, or you could say the rich has become much
cattle. Well, yeah, or that this is just normal for possession, although, yeah, you've got a point there, haya plus le. Well, that would be interesting. I wonder if you could do that. Couldn't really do that, though. Making the flocks becoming rich. But to the rich were flocks. So this is your possessive thing. If it were in the present, you know, you would wouldn't even have a verb form. But to the rich man, singular, to the rich one were flocks and herds, many herds.
It's an artist, to a rich one.
Oh yeah, you got a point there.
power of the context.
Yeah, your context has already made it definite.
Rich, and, you know.
Yeah.
But interesting that it wouldn't continue.
That is funny. That is funny. It seems to be more conceptualizing it, you know, making it a hypothetical situation, I suppose, but...
Of course it
isn't. What's that?
It is a hypothetical, right?
Yeah, it is. He's telling a story here, and that may be the reason why it's done this way. I would be more inclined to expect to see the article on it, because he's just specified him and now to the rich one. But it is interesting that there isn't any. Mm-hmm.
The last two words, how are they to be translated?
Oh, many, much, in a way. In other words, ha-rave me'ov. So, mubakar ha-rave me'ov. In large cattle, very many. Me'ov meaning very, and then many. Harve is many. I think you had it a ways back. So it's many, and then you have me'ov, an adverb modifying that.
Did they both modify flock and
go? Well, that's a good question. Yeah, they could. This gets a little bit fuzzy, but the two are joined together right away, and then you can put the whole thing. It's kind of like Granville Sharp's, but since everything is anarthrous and so forth, it's a little bit...
That Harvey
is not
an article on there?
I think...
Isn't this from Rabah?
Yeah, but the problem is that neither one of your nouns have
that's what I mean.
The article. We better check it. Maybe that hifil form of it, though. It must be something. Yeah.
So I have to call the increase variant.
Okay. What it looks like is they're taking that hifil infinitive and used it like an adjective. That's what it's looking like. Yeah, harbe. It's the infinitive absolute form. Let's see. It wouldn't be the participle because that'd have a name. So it's taking the infinitive absolute, is what it looks like, and treating that like an adjective. That's not really unusual. Paradigm for that guy is on page 227, 228. It's a hip feel. The top 228, see that infinitive absolute second line down, Harbe. Let's see, the verb itself, how do they give this? Hereby to increase, to make numerous. So, infinitives, you almost have to take it. It's an infinitive absolute. You almost have to take it adjectively. It's real hard to do it any other way. How'd you translate it again, Eric?
Maybe increasingly.
Very increasingly, or very much, very many. I guess I really don't like very many, because it seemed like there'd be a simpler way to say that. But go ahead. Maybe, you almost have to make it passive. Well, I suppose you could make it passive in a way. Decrease to make numerous. That's given it pretty much a transitive sense. Unless it's connoting the fact that the cattle are producing, reproducing, making themselves very many. That might be the idea. That way you could keep a transitive sense to it. So the rich had flocks and cattle, very many, or very prolific, you know, prolific ones that were increasing themselves. Yeah. That may be a good way to look at it in view of what follows, because in effect he's going to castigate him for, you know, trying to take another man's one. When he had so many himself and they were constantly reproducing, that might be a more significant thing. That'd be a good one to do a word study on, just to see if anybody in the commentaries pick up on that. So check Highland Delitch or something and see if they pick up on the hifil sense of that. Or if the word had just been, you know, generalized so much that it was used like an adjective and didn't have that significance. I suspect there's something there, though. Otherwise, you could just say rabah, you know, you can, you know, just use rab for many. Okay. So I'm not sure. On your translations, I'll just go ahead and flocks and cattle, you know, flocks and herds, very many. But if you want to bring that sense out, you know, prolific or, you know, how would you say that? We're making themselves many or something like that. Okay, verse 3. Who's next, Doug? How do we spend so much time on that short one? It's not always the length of the sentence that counts.
Would our Amish and gold be
okay, why yeah. Oh, this is a good one. Why yeha. Okay, why yeha. You really gotta watch it because there's so many. That'd be a good one to say. See if you can say that three times as fast as you can. Yeah, really? Okay, go ahead. Yeah, what he? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll take it as we can go there. Take this first as contrasted here. Contrasting it. The previous sentence talked about the rich one. Now, but the poor.
Yeah, I think it says that this is the poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
But to the poor, there was.
Right. But to the poor.
There was not any.
Yeah, you might say there was not anything. Yeah, to the poor, there was not anything. And so you might say the poor had nothing in our idiom.
Poor had nothing except.
Except, right. Kiyam. Yes, one small female lamb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
okay, this is a PL form. This is number three here. It's a PL form of haya, and or you know haya to live. So the idea is to keep alive. Is what they've given to, and he kept it alive. In other words, which he bought and kept it, and he kept it alive.
Kept alive, and very.
Yeah, you might say in the sense of it grew up, it grew with him, and it became, you know, became larger, became great. I think it's in the sense of growing up, not that the lamb, you know, became world famous or anything.
What form is that? The PL symbol?
Looks like it. It's got the dalef with the dagesh there. Looks like a PO form, yeah.
Okay.
It grew up with him, and by now it'd be his sons. With him and with his sons.
And
You might you could try to keep in mind, and with his sons, all together, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's in his bosom. Beheko. Uvehe. Yeah, in his bosom. And Shakav is to lie down, so. Kivat, that's considered that. That's bath plus the preposition ka. Like a daughter, yeah, like a daughter. Oh, yeah, it was glorious, yeah. Right, I can see how you got that from Kaved and yeah, yeah. You got to be careful on it. It's quite a difference in meaning. Okay, well, to repeat that then, but the poor had nothing, or not was to the poor anything, but one small female lamb, which he bought and kept it alive. And it grew up with him and with his sons together, and from his morsel it ate, and from his cup it drank. So it grew up with him and his sons together. In other words, it's part of the family. And from his morsel it ate, and from his cup it drank, and in his bosom it lay. Or you could reverse the word order on all those. It ate from his morsel and drank from his cup and lay in his bosom. And it was to him like a daughter. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I used the feminine pronoun she.
Oh, yeah, that'd be all right. Yeah, that'd be fine. Because the object is a female lamb, and you can call she all the way through. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the La Rasha, the poor one. This is
article.
Yeah, that's interesting. I noticed that, too, the first. I'm glad you mentioned it again, because now we've got the article out, and the previous one didn't. Now, of course, there could be some debate here, because all it would require is changing the Shua to comets in the previous one. And yeah, so that's kind of a point that's, you know, it's up to the Masoretes, I suppose. Okay. Verse 4. Any questions anymore on verse 3? Okay, Doug, are you next? Verse 4? Or no, who? John.
Are you both here, Laish? Ashir
Lakaka. Stop there and we'll translate that tomorrow.